Vatican and World News.
Today, Thursday, May 9th, is the Feast of St. Pachomius the Great. And these are today's headlines. Pope Francis provides new norms for the Universal Church against those who commit abuse or those who cover it up. The Pontifical Biblical Institute celebrates the 110th anniversary of its foundation by Pope St. Pius X. And in a meeting with people from the Roma and Sinti communities, Pope Francis says he suffers greatly when he hears about insults, racial hatred, and violence against them. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells. Vos estis lux mundi. You are the light of the world. That's the title of Pope Francis's new motu proprio, published today, that establishes new norms and procedures for reporting sexual abuse and for ensuring that bishops and religious superiors are held accountable for their actions. Sean Patrick Lovett tells us more.
When Pope Francis opened the meeting on the protection of minors in the Church last February in the Vatican, he told presidents of bishops' conferences from all over the world that he and the people of God expect concrete and effective measures to be undertaken in response to the scourge of sexual abuse perpetrated by ecclesiastics. The motu proprio published today is that concrete response. The document is the fruit of both that February meeting and the result of close collaboration among different dicasteries and offices within the Vatican, following a process of consultation and listening. What makes the document new is the universal and unequivocal obligation it imposes on every diocese in the world to establish what it describes as public, stable, and easily accessible systems for reporting abuse. Clerics and religious are likewise obliged to promptly report not just sexual abuse, but any form of harassment or violence perpetrated through an abuse of authority, as well as any attempt to cover up such abuse. The document also includes a section relating to the protection of vulnerable people, understood as any person in a state of infirmity, physical or mental deficiency, or deprivation of personal liberty, which even occasionally limits their ability to understand. The motu proprio provides specific guidelines concerning the treatment of those who come forward to report abuse. Victims and their families, it states, must be treated with dignity and respect and be offered appropriate spiritual, medical, and psychological assistance. The document is equally specific when it addresses the responsibility of bishops and religious superiors and codifies the procedures that hold them accountable for their actions. The new norms not only apply to those being investigated for allegedly committing abuse themselves, but to those accused of covering up or of failing to follow up on allegations of abuse. An important section of Pope Francis' motu proprio is dedicated to the role of lay experts and what it calls qualified persons, who can be called to cooperate and assist in investigations, normally under the ultimate responsibility of the Metropolitan, namely the highest church authority, usually the Archbishop, in that particular ecclesiastical province. In the opening lines of the document, Pope Francis repeats the call for concrete and effective actions that need to involve everyone in the Church, in order to ensure the phenomenon of sexual abuse never happens again. I'm Sean Patrick Lovett.
At a meeting point at the Holy See press office this morning, Archbishop Charles Scicluna, an adjunct secretary at the Congregation for the Faith, who's been intimately involved in preparing the document, told Linda Bardoni how he would present the motu proprio to his own flock.
I tell them, listen, if you really love the Church, you need to report misconduct. If you report misconduct, you're going to be protected. Victims should know that there is an obligation on the part of the Church to listen to them, to support them, to give them the need, the help they need. When it comes to your Archbishop, I am not above the law. If I commit misconduct, you have the duty to go to the nuncio or to my brother bishop, the Suffragan bishop, in my case, the Bishop of Gozo. Report me. If they don't listen, write direct to the Holy See. There is a procedure where I will be investigated. you should be informed about it. Lay people from my flock could be also called to help in that investigation. You need to know that I am at your service. I am not above the law.
Maybe I was distracted. I never heard the word transparency.
Transparency comes from empowering people to disclose crime, but also engaging people in investigating crime. Because transparency can be a nice word, but then you have to translate it into concrete norms. So, yes, if you would put the norms promulgated today on the 7th of May, but made known today by the Holy Father, it's about transparency, but it's also about accountability.
Who was involved in preparing this document?
Oh, I think that there was a good team from so many different departments or congregations of the Holy See. It is the result of teamwork, of hard work. But I think that that's the easiest bit.
So it wasn't just the CDF?
Oh no. We work as a team.
That was Archbishop Charles Scicluna of Malta speaking with Linda Bordoni from Vatican News. Also on Thursday, Pope Francis met with members of the Pontifical Biblical Institute, who are marking their 110th anniversary with an international interreligious conference. Lydia O'Kane has that story.
This year, the Pontifical Biblical Institute is celebrating the 110th anniversary of its foundation. To mark this occasion, the Institute is holding an international conference entitled Jesus and the Pharisees, an interdisciplinary reappraisal. In prepared remarks to members on Thursday in the Vatican, Pope Francis focused on the conference's theme. He told those gathered that recent study had come to realize that less is known about the Pharisees than previous generations thought. We are less certain about their origins and about many of their teachings and practices, he said. The Pope added that the conference's examination of interdisciplinary research into literary and historical questions regarding the Pharisees would contribute to a more accurate view of this religious group while also helping to combat anti-Semitism. Delving into the New Testament, the pontiff noted that Jesus had numerous discussions with Pharisees about common concerns. He pointed out that among the more significant moments in the Gospel of John, we find Jesus' encounter with a Pharisee named Nicodemus, one of the leaders of the Jews. Pope Francis went on to say that to Nicodemus, Jesus explains that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Nicodemus, emphasized the Pope, would then defend Jesus before the assembly and subsequently be present at his burial. Whatever view one takes of Nicodemus, it is clear that the various stereotypes about the Pharisees do not apply to him, nor do they find confirmation elsewhere in John's Gospel, the Pope said. In his remarks, Pope Francis recalled how Rabbi Akiba, one of the most famous rabbis of the second century and an heir to Pharisaic traditions, pointed to the words, "Love your neighbor as yourself," as a great principle of the Torah. The Pope explained to those present how the golden rule of loving one's neighbor represents a significant indicator for recognizing affinities between Jesus and his Pharisee interlocutors. It certainly constitutes an important basis for any dialogue, especially among Jews and Christians, even today, he said. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
And finally, Pope Francis today presided over a prayer meeting in which some 500 minority Roma and Sinti people and their pastoral helpers participated. In off-the-cuff remarks, the Holy Father said he suffers greatly when he hears about insults, racial hatred, and violence directed against the minority people, saying this is not civilization. Robin Gomes tells us more.
The prayer meeting organized by the Migrantes Foundation of the Italian Bishops' Conference came in the wake of violent protests by residents of a Rome periphery against the allotment of an apartment in a government housing complex to a nomad family. After hearing moving testimonies of a Roma priest and a mother of four, the Pope regretted the bitter pain of segregation that they feel on their skin that pushes them aside. He lamented that society lives on fairy tales, stereotyping people as beggars and sinners. All of us are sinners, and we all make mistakes in life, he said, but I cannot wash my hands of them, picking out the real or fake sins of others. The one thing that makes me angry, the Pope said, is that we are used to talking about people with adjectives.
L'aggettivo è una delle cose che crea distanze fra la mente e il cuore, come ha detto.
The Pope said that stereotyping persons with adjectives such as ugly, bad and evil is something that creates distances between the mind and the heart.
Ci sono cittadini di seconda classe, è vero, ma i veri cittadini di seconda classe sono coloro che scartano la gente.
The Holy Father admitted that second-class citizens do exist, but the real second-class citizens are those who discard people because they cannot embrace. With adjectives and slander, he said, these people throw out and discard others with a broom in hand. Instead, the real road is that of brotherhood. He warned against the danger and weakness of letting resentment or grudge grow because, he said, rancor sickens the heart, the head and everything and leads to revenge. Without mentioning names, the Pope alluded to criminal organizations in Italy who, he said, are masters of revenge, a group of people who, he said, are able to create revenge and live in omerta. This is a group of delinquent people, the Pope said, and not people who want to work. The Pope concluded, urging all not to create distances in the mind and heart with adjectives. I'm Robin Gomes.
And one final piece of news this evening. The Diocese of Rome will have a special meeting with its bishop, Pope Francis, this evening at the Cathedral, the Archbasilica of St. John Lateran. The Diocese of Rome has been undertaking an ecclesial journey in the course of a pastoral year, centered first of all on making memory and then on reconciliation. The encounter takes place this evening, again at the Archbasilica of St. John at the Lateran. It will begin with a moment of prayer, followed by a reading from the Bible, and then a talk with the Holy Father. We'll cover that in the news tomorrow morning. And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, be sure to check out our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. You can also catch the latest updates on our Facebook page or on Twitter. Many thanks to our sound engineer in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Christopher Wells.